Today we're going to be looking at some different spiritual gifts. Actually, this spiritual gift area is a two-part sermon. I had to break it into two parts. There's just too much to do. So we'll get some this week and some next week. Brought some props here. Got them from the children. And some more props. It's all out there. But we've been talking about our shape and how each of us got a shape, how we're significant, and how He has created us not to just sit there and save people, but to serve Him in different ways. And gotta go one more, Lydia. Make sure, yeah. Let's read this together. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and power forever. And that's really what we want to be about, is giving God the praise and glory. The reason that we're studying about our shape and our is to discover who God has created us to be in the different areas, and then the ministry He has for us to do. And so before we go to the next one, let's go ahead and review what SHAPE stands for. The S is spiritual gifts. The H is our heart or passions. A is our abilities. P is personality. And E, experiences. There it is. Why do we need to discover these? God wants to be glorified through all that you are. Not only that, God wants you to discover where you need to be serving Him and how to best serve Him in your chow, your C, your church, your H, your home, O, occupation, and W, the world, in all of these different areas. And you know that for some of you, you're just shaped different. You do not connect in certain areas, even though you can do it, that a lot of times just doesn't connect with you. That's not the way that you were shaped. And overall, as we use our shape and we serve God, it brings delight to Him. It brings delight to others when we're helping one another and interacting with one another. And most of all, or not most of all, but you even get the benefit or the bonus that it brings delight to our own hearts when we're bringing delight to God and others through service. Today we want to look at spiritual gifts. And so we're going to read 1 Corinthians. This is a long passage, but I'd like to read all of it. And before we read this, let's just go ahead and say a word of prayer and ask the Lord to come and speak to our hearts. Father God, we really need your guidance and direction on spiritual gifts. A lot of what's written in the Bible is written because people abuse and misuse spiritual gifts. But God, you have given them to us for the purpose of building up the church. And so, God, these good gifts from you that come from the Father above, we want to understand and we want to grow so that we can use everything you've given us to bring glory and delight to your name. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So reading this, it says, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers," Paul's writing this, "I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagan, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to new idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed.' And no one say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. the body is a unit. Although it's made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit in one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given great honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. Let's read that again. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? And it goes on to say, but eagerly desire greater gifts. The chapter right after this is what chapter? 12, 13. What's 13 about?
Love.
Right after that, chapter 14. What's 14 about? Prophecy and tongues, again, some of the spiritual gifts. Paul has a lot to tell us about spiritual gifts. When we go back up and we look at verse 4, there's a verse there that talks about different kinds of gifts. And we'll actually go down. We'll just keep going down through it, Lydia. And when we use that word gift, we get this charisma, which we get from the root word charis, or grace. Okay? And that's why people call use of gifts, or the use of spirit, spiritual gifts, charismatic. Now, grace, in many different terms, is called love, loving kindness, favor. It's what God has given out to us in this amazing grace way. And so God has gifted us or blessed us with these different gifts of grace, which we call spiritual gifts. Now this word charisma is used in different ways. Three different ways that it's used is first is for salvation. Okay. Some of you have memorized Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Talking about salvation. Another way that this charisma word can be used is in 2 Corinthians 1:11 when it talks about blessing or encouragement or comfort. Then many will give thanks on behalf of the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. The third way that it can be used is this special supernatural ability to minister or serve. 1 Peter 4:10 uses this that I continue to repeat over and over again to you guys, and I hope you remember that. Each one should use whatever gift they've been given to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, let him speak, you know, the very words of God. If anyone, so it's talking about this supernatural ability given from God to build up. 1 Corinthians 12:4, in the same way. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. And of course we know 1 Corinthians 12 is about these different spiritual gifts. Now, when we think about a gift, think about someone, you, or someone giving you a gift. Can you earn a gift? If you could earn it, then it would become a payment. Right? If you're working and someone's paying you, it's not a gift. And so it becomes a gift that is grace or given, a blessing. And that comes from God or the Spirit. Now, when a gift is given, who decides the gift? The giver. Right? And so God or the Holy Spirit is the one who decides how many or which gift to give you. Now, you can ask for a gift, right? In fact, children do it all the time. Oh, can I get that new Barbie that has the long, shiny hair? Hey, Dad, you know, I really want to get that DS. Dad, a DS. That's all I hear from my kid. DS. I'm like, what does DS mean? You know? I understand, but you can ask for a gift. In fact, it says that we should eagerly desire the gift. It says in Luke chapter 12 that that God gives us good gifts as the Father. That if a child comes to the Father and asks for some bread, doesn't give him a stone. It goes on, talks about, and that finishes with, God gives us the Holy Spirit. And when you receive a gift, who is it for? Okay, usually the person that it's given to. Now, with spiritual gifts, it's a little bit different. Okay? Because the purpose of the gift is not necessarily just for you. It's for us. Not just for you. For us. Who is us? The body. The church. And that's what the gift is given for. I was given a gift from my wife of a Passion CD. It was awesome. I really enjoy listening to that. But I quickly found out that the gift was not given just for me, but it was given for my wife and my kids and my whole family would be in the car and we would really enjoy that CD together. The same concept. You cannot hold the gift just for yourself. Now, what is a purpose of spiritual gift? You know, we think maybe sometimes, at least I have thought as I have gone through this, is, you know, cool party tricks, right? Or, hey, look at me. I am so awesome. I can walk on water. I got the gift of miracles. Or, hey, that guy's sick. Be healed. Boom. Yeah. Oh, danger, right? That is not what the purpose of spiritual gifts is. I'm not sure. Yeah, we do got it up here. Ephesians 4, 10 through 12 is really good. It says, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. Why? To prepare God's people for works of service. Why? So that the body of Christ may be built up. It goes on to say more. Until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's a lot to remember. To become mature. That's a good one. I don't want my son not to be mature all of his life saying, Daddy, can you get the milk for me? No. Go to the refrigerator, air from the door, get the milk yourself, and pour it with carefulness, you know. That we should be unified. Okay? Unified with one another. But also, if we want to think of it just in simple terms, to have works of service. Okay? To serve one another and to build one another up. We also have 1 Peter 4:10 again. I bring this up again over and over again. To serve others. The purpose of spiritual gifts. Gifts are not given just for your benefit. They're giving for others' benefit. And the gift that is given to me is given for others' benefit. We can't just keep it for ourselves. 1 Corinthians 12:7 that we read today says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. When it says common good there, it's not talking about a general good. It's a community good. It's a helping of one another. So God planned it in a way that we need one another. And we read things like this when we read 1 Corinthians 12:14-20. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. We have to depend on one another. The fact is if you don't use the gifts that were given to you, you cheat the other people in the church. Now, a lot of us don't want to hear, how many of you are cheaters?
Oh, me.
No. You don't want to raise your hand to be a cheater. So God's saying, if you have it, use it for others. If someone is real sick, and you happen to have the gift of healing, it would really be sad or cheating someone not to try to use it. If you have the gift of encouragement, it would really be sad or cheat someone if all you do go around, and some of you may be offended by this, but I hear many of you saying it to one another, so I just want to say, you suck. You think that word really encourages people. Oh, I just want to build up the brother. You suck. If you're a Christian, don't use the word. Think about how you can encourage. Now, I know a lot of us in the families we grow up with, mom and dad, they don't encourage us. They always point out the areas of faults where we haven't measured up. I, as a father, my son, when it comes to basketball, when the game's over, I point out all of his faults he didn't measure up in. After I get done through my whole list, then I get to the terms of encouragement. Okay? But it's hard. I shouldn't cheat someone if I have a gift. I should use it. An unopened gift becomes worthless in the kingdom of God. I love what Paul says to Timothy. 1 Timothy 4. Many of you like 1 Timothy. Do not neglect your gift. Paul's telling him, do not neglect your gift. How do you get that gift? Which was given you through a prophetic message. Oh, there's actually prophecy. When the body of elders laid their hands on you. Says it again in 2 Timothy 1:6. For this reason I remind you, Timothy, to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. God wants you to use these gifts to serve others, to build up the church. And this gift is given as a blessing from God. You don't choose it, you don't earn it, but you do need to use it. So don't hide it or bury it. Now, what is a spiritual gift? Some things that it's not. A spiritual gift is not a Galatians 5:22-23 list of spiritual fruit. Love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are about God working in you through His Holy Spirit to build your character. It's a time where God is sanctifying your life, making you more like Him. It's not necessarily a spiritual gift. Also, a human talent is not a spiritual gift. You know, a lot of times it's hard to understand what is a spiritual gift and what is not. But a doctor may have a lot of talent. They may be able to diagnose exactly what is wrong with you. But it may not be a spiritual gift of healing. We have to understand it's not necessarily a human talent. Also, a spiritual discipline. We have a lot of spiritual discipline that God is asking us to be disciplined in, to act out. That we are to witness to people. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you have a gift of evangelism. But it also doesn't mean that you should stop witnessing because, oh, I just don't have the gift of evangelism, Pastor. I just am not going to tell anybody about Jesus. I have full legal rights now never to tell another soul about the eternal life and salvation one can have in Jesus. Disciplines are different. Now, it's about giving. One has maybe a gift of giving. They give above and beyond resources they may not even have yet, but they have this gift to give. Tithing is a discipline. We're still called to tithe 10% on a regular basis. Oh, Pastor, I don't have the gift of giving. I can't tithe. No. We need to tithe. Serving. Help. I have the gift of help. So I go above and beyond all types of service by God's empowerment. But we still need to serve. Just like we talked about last week. We serve according to need, and we also serve according to our shape. A ministry position is not a spiritual gift. Maybe you're a pastor, a teacher. Maybe you're a small group leader, right? Some of you have been small group leaders before. And, oh man, I don't have the spiritual gift of leadership. And now we begin to say, oh, I can't lead. No, maybe you have gifting in different areas, like mercy. And someone in that group needs mercy. Or maybe a pastoring, shepherding type of gift. God is still calling you to serve in that way. And it's not an irresistible power. A lot of times when we think about spiritual natures, we see these horror films that some of you like to watch. I cannot stand horror films. Images go in my mind, they don't leave, and in the middle of the night I'm thinking about it. Not good for sleep. I don't know how some of you can watch those. But it's not an irresistible power. It's not like all of a sudden it comes upon you, I'm talking in tongues, and I can't stop. Ah! No. Or giving. Oh, here, take my money. You, take my money. Ah, I can't stop. God is upon me. No. You have a choice. Spiritual gifts are controllable. Okay? What it is, just a good simple definition, a divine supernatural ability given by God to enable Christians to fulfill their purpose. To serve and to build up the church. Serve and build up the church. It's a special tool for ministry. Are you using your tool? This one doesn't look like it's been used too much. Okay? It's got some rust on it. Some of you are a little bit rusty. And there's just different reasons why we have rust. Okay? Today we'd like to... Today we are not going to rust. Because we have to move on. We have some wonderful people that are going to go ahead and go and share overseas, Uruguay, right? And we're going to pray for them. They get the gift of evangelism. And they're going to go overseas in that. And we're doing a short-term mission. Dan's really helped put that together. So Dan's going to come up. We're going to bring some of them up. And hopefully we'll get some time to pray for them today. And next week, I know many of you are going to be gone, CIU. USC is on break. But we're going to continue on this next week. Listen online if you get a chance.
Can you bring up the slide there? The last one, I think, has got the flags. Just a little quiz here. Quiz on your... Alright, which one is a flag of Uruguay? Lower, upper right, bottom. Bottom right. Very good. I'm impressed. Bottom right. Bottom right.
Alright.
Yes, we are going to Uruguay. We're going to, we're part of a pre-church, mission team. Myself, David Q, Anna Jen, and Angela Gal, and she's not here, right? She's on spring break this week. So pray that we ask you to support us, pray for us. We have a fundraising dinner coming up. We're going to have it here. And we will have, we'll start selling tickets next Sunday. But we'll have a nice dinner. We have dinner entertainment, karaoke, and maybe some drawings. So I invite you to come. It's a fundraising dinner, so we're charging $20 a head. So I ask you to, but we're going to put out a nice dinner for you. So, but.
Okay. And what we want to do is we want to go ahead and pray for them right now. And we just don't want to pray for them now. We want to be praying through them until they leave in June, while they're there in June, and after they come back. A lot of times, short-term mission trips shape people's hearts. It really challenges them to live outside of their box, to really depend on Jesus. And so I'm really, really encouraged seeing each of these take that step. Because that first step is always the most difficult, right? Decision, commitment. Okay, a lot of us have huge difficulties with this, especially men. Okay, so I'm really encouraged by that. And please remember, Angela, you can't see her, but try to envision her, and we'll pray for her. So let's go ahead and stand up and let's reach out a hand towards them, and let's all pray at the same time, and then I'll close it. Father God, we praise you. We thank you for each one here. We ask that you would be with Angela, David, and Anna, and Dan, that you would prepare their hearts, God, that you would strengthen their faith. God, I pray that you would pour upon them a spiritual gift to evangelize, to witness, to tell the world about you. God, that you would fill them with gifts of servings and help. God, that you would even fill them with gifts of prophecy, that they could speak amazing words to people in the land that does not know Jesus. And those who do, God, that they would be given the gift of encouragement so they can encourage brothers and sisters that are there. God, we need your Holy Spirit, Father God, that has all the wonderful gifts come down from heaven above. We ask that you would pour out upon them. You would protect them from the evil one, that you would help us to support them. And God, I pray for us that we would be able to engage in that fundraiser dinner and other fundraisers to build up money. God, we want to be on a practical side to help them in different practical ways. Father God, as a church, help us build together through this mission trip. God, come and be glorified in Uruguay. Come and be glorified, God, in the Middle East. Be glorified over all the world, Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Amen.